When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Oh, Houston! He is Joe, I am Jeremy, it's Jeremy and Joe. Right. Lots to get to today. Isak Bananis, his return. Do we think that he's going to be in the starting lineup?
Yes.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense activate him. What's that?
Playing where, though?
DH. Designated hitter.
Yeah, I guess while you're Jordan South, you got that luxury.
Yeah, I don't think you would activate him and then not have him in the lineup day one. So I think he plays today and then doesn't play tomorrow. We'll get into some Isak stuff. Although, how much are we really expecting from Isak? He hasn't seen live big league pitching in 2 months. It's kind of weird. Like, here you go. You're our DH. You're going to bat top three in the order. Go save us. Not that they need saving, but I don't know. It feels like a pretty tough spot to put Isak Bananis in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not easy, but, I mean, he's got a DH and just, you know, be better than Victor Caratini. I feel like it's a relatively – it's not a high bar to pass on, so I think he can accomplish that.
It's like a medium bar, you know? It's a solid professional bar for Victor
Caratini. As long as he's good enough, like, it's fine. I think we should have low expectations for Isak Paredes. I don't think we should be expecting him to do what Jordan Alvarez did, coming back and looking like the best hitter in baseball.
No.
Just go out there and be competent at the plate. And look, they got, you know, minor league-ish teams next week in the Angels and the Athletics, so just be good enough. You know, that's really your warm-up series, that one. This one, we'll see. Probably plays, my guess is today and Sunday, and it's an every other day thing throughout his return.
My expectations aren't very high either. Like, I'm hoping he can prove me wrong. And look, I love that he's back, and I do think that it makes some sense to get him back and, hey, let's see what he's got before we get to the playoffs and all of that stuff. I just, like, expecting him to come back and be the guy that he was is, it's a little bit lofty. To me, it's more, let's build a runway for a week and see if we actually have a legitimate bat. Plus, like, what's he going to look like? Like, is he going to pull his hamstring the moment that he tries to bust it, you know, going first to third? Not that he's going to be doing that, but still. Like, I'm curious to see what that looks like, too. I'm also very curious to see what the corresponding move is. Because for him to come up, somebody has to go down or be placed on the injured list. Like, what they do with Jordan today's, I'm pretty interested right now. Because if they don't place him on the IL for Isak, it's like, okay, well, they probably think that he has a chance to get back in that 10-day allotment of when he was hurt. If they put him on the IL, it's like, okay, well, now, like, will he be back by the playoffs? So, like, who they take off the roster is, like, equally intriguing to me as where does Isak plug in and all that stuff.
Yeah, because if you're not gonna put Jordan back, like, while that's positive, like, you do create some interesting, you know, options or you know, problems that you could have in late games. Like, if he's not going if he's going station to station, and it's the, you know, top of the eighth inning, he hits a single, you're probably gonna want to take him out of the game for Zach Cole or Cam Smith or someone like that, just to pinch run in that situation. But if you don't have Jordan Alvarez, then you're just deepening, you're lessening your bench more and more and more, and thus you're also taking out your DH out of the equation. So you lose that. So if the game were to go into extra innings, you're going to be short of bat again. So it does create some problems for Joe Espada. I'm assuming they've thought this out plenty through every scenario, but I think it's My gut tells me, Jeremy, that like they're going to put Yordan on the IL for 10 days.
That's probably the safest bet. But that opens up the questions of like, okay, how severe is this ankle injury? Will he be back for the playoffs? All of that. Because like, remember, Kyle Tucker wasn't placed on the injured list until like 3 days after he fouled a ball off his shin that later became a broken bone. Even Jeremy Pena. Like, Jeremy Pena had broken ribs, unbeknownst to them, and lands on the IL like 3 days later. Jake Meyers should have been on the IL, was playing center field, ran out to his position, and severed his calf even more. So, like, what they do with Yordan will be interesting to me. Because if he's placed on the IL today, it's like, will he be back for the playoffs? If he's not placed on the IL today, it's interesting. Could he be back in that 10 days that he would have spent on the injured list? But we'll be on the lookout for the moves officially. The report from McTaggart is they do plan to activate Isak Paredes tonight. We'll be on the lookout for the lineup, too. I imagine, usually it's out around this time, but I imagine with a roster move that it might be delayed a little bit. But we'll be on the lookout for that. Houston Texans travel to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars tomorrow. I've been listening to a lot of that guy, actually, over the last couple of days. I'm pretty impressed with Liam Cohen. I think that I like Liam Cohen. He's kind of in the Shanahan mold to me. I know he was never under Shanahan. I know he was under McVay with the Rams. And last year he was in Tampa. He made Will Levis look like a stud the 1 year that he was in Kentucky as the offensive coordinator there. I think that Liam Cohen could be a problem in the AFC South. I actually believe that.
Yeah, I think the question is the quarterback going to be a problem? Like, you know, as much as one coach can do with a quarterback, we'll wait and see. But and the offense for them has looked better. The way they've used Etienne specifically, I think, in the first two games shows like there's some stuff there that they can work with. I can't get over the Duval thing. It's so strange.
Duval.
I know it's not the end of the world. Like, Jonathan Gannon's got the Cardinals playing well, and you know, he was obviously we'll wait and see. I mean, I guess he's the reason why you love Will Levis, so I think you kind of have to like him at this point. That's almost your defense mechanism, Jeremy.
I loved
Will Levis because of Liam Cohen.
Yeah, I think my love for Mayo has went away. It's gone. It's no longer with me.
Good.
Although I do wonder where he ends up next year. It's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens to him now that Tennessee has given up on him. But no, I think we'll hear from Liam Cohen a little bit later, too. He's an impressive dude. It actually made me nervous about this game on Sunday, which we should all be nervous about this game on Sunday, because the Texans are the underdogs in this game coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about that later. We'll play two favorites and a dog. Which, again, why are we maximizing the dog here when it's all a coin flip bet? But whatever, I digress. I'm certainly not going to put more value on the line than you guys. Bad Take Boulevard coming up later. Todd Kallis, the TV voice of the Astros, will join us at 4:30. And then Taylor Dahl. Feels like a fake name, Brian. Taylor Dahl does not feel like a real name. Did you get duped?
This was actually Joe's booking.
This was Joe's booking?
I'm gonna surprise you here. And I say surprise with a slash S. Joe booked someone he works Bears shows with as our Jaguars guest.
Okay.
That's not fair. She hosts a radio show in Jacksonville.
I know.
Yeah, that was never on my plate either. I was never told anything about Taylor Dahl. I just looked at the rundown, Taylor Dahl at 5:00. That's the first I've heard of Taylor Dahl.
We had to get a Jags person. I know Taylor, and RJ's her producer.
Just wondered if you're talking to Brian behind my back. I'm gonna take up the paranoia of this show.
Oh, good.
No.
I need that in my life. That's what I need, Jeremy.
Oh, so now I only agree with Joe. Is that going to be the ongoing bit?
Is Taylor Dahl a man or a woman? 713-782-3777. Well, you just ruined the game.
Was it really that hard of a game?
I mean, Taylor could go both ways. I have a good friend named Taylor. Good friend named Taylor. He's a guy.
You don't have
friends. We used to be friends. No, I have friends. Taylor is one of my good friends, and he's a guy, and his name is Taylor. So it could
was
Taylor
it
could go either way.
Necessary to put the S on the end of friend.
Every day, Tay. I have multiple friends. I know I like to play into it. I don't have many. I don't have time for any of them. I see them once a year. But no, I have friends. I have a few. But yeah, you ruined the game. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Absolutely killed.
I didn't realize we were playing a game.
Anyways.
After how you handled two favorites and a dog last week, I think you kind of earned that one.
No, you guys.
Thank you,
I don't want to get into that anymore.
Thank you for being on my side.
You brought it up.
I know, because I'm still bitter, because I think it's stupid, obviously. I'm going to let that one
go.
We
offered you a way out.
I'm going to let that one go, because I rather play a stupid game with a stupid name than give y'all way more value. Like, I'm not going to put up a steak dinner compared
By
to y'all's,
let it
like,
go,
sandwiches.
You mean mention it every single week?
I know. I told myself I was going to let it go, and I'm back. I'm not doing a very good job of that. A little self-reflection. But anyways, we'll play that game later. Also, the return of mean tweets. So if you have mean things to say to us, 713-780-3776, you can tweet Joe at Joe George Radio. You can tweet Sack by B-Mac. I don't need to give my Twitter for all the mean things that you guys need to say. But did you guys watch this Thursday night game yesterday? What did y'all think? Bills beating the Dolphins. A good college try for Miami's, the narrative out of Miami. But the Bills looking like the Bills to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good effort by the Bills. I mean, by the Dolphins defense. But when they were showing those graphics on there where Tua was, 3 seconds to pass, and he was averaging, negative a half of passing yard or air yard on each pass attempt. He was just throwing behind the line of scrimmage to Devin Achane the whole time. It wasn't that the Dolphins season's over. You start 0-3, your season's pretty much done, especially in that division. But the Bills just looked like the Bills. I mean, Josh Allen, he's really getting everyone involved. James Cook looks awesome so far this season. That holdout, it clearly looks like it was the right decision to pay him. It doesn't feel like they're going to regret that one, at least in the near future, because he just runs so hard and is going to be a real challenge, honestly, for I think most teams in the AFC this year. So the Bills are the Bills. Like, they were clearly the better team last night.
Yeah, they were better. I think they played with their food a little bit, like let Miami hang around in the game. I really like Mike McDaniel. Like, he's scheming some stuff up with a quarterback who stinks and a wide receiver who has no interest in really playing for the Dolphins. That little ball, the ball that Tua threw the furthest in that game yesterday with all of his might, because Tua doesn't throw it very far, but he threw it with all of his might, gave Tyreek a chance. Tyreek goes up there and alligator arms it. That annoyed me so much. I want Mike McDaniel to be the offensive coordinator of the Texans immediately, because if he gets fired mid-year, I would hire him and bring him in as an analyst right away. Like, whenever remember last year Saleh got fired and, like, teams were bringing him in? I would do that with McDaniel right away, and I hope he's the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans next year. I wouldn't want him as my head coach, because I don't think he can, like, as a program builder, I don't think he's great with, like, the culture thing, but as, like, a quirky offensive wizard, give me Mike McDaniel. I want him in Houston as fast as possible.
I think I'm most interested in going forward is how quickly Miami blows it up. Because, I mean, their season's over, but I could see locally they talk themselves into, well, if the DT doesn't rough the punter, we're right there and maybe we can win the game. Like, yeah. I agree with you. But you know how fan bases and owners and general managers will sometimes talk themselves into, like, hey, we're actually close. We go on the road to maybe the best team in football, and if our guy doesn't rough the punter, we win the game. That might talk them into letting McDaniel play it out for, a few more weeks than we originally thought. But I think that's the thing to watch, because, I mean, the Bills are just the Bills. Josh Allen's amazing. James Cook's amazing. And the defense, even without Cougs, that Oliver and Matt Milano still made enough plays when they had to.
Yeah, I mean, they play the Jets next week on Monday Night Football. So, like, if it's Tyrod Taylor and not Justin Fields, and even if it's Justin Fields and you get embarrassed at home on Monday Night Football, like, that to me, which awful game on a Monday night. That's one where I would look at, that could be a firing game. The week after, they play the Panthers as well. So, like, that's two games where, this is the Bills. But, like, you lose to the Jets at home as currently a 3.5-point favorite. You lose the following week to the Panthers. Those are the ones where it's like, I'm not sure he makes it past the next 2 weeks if they don't come away with two wins.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea. It depends on the owner. Like, is the owner going to flex and be like, hey, we're going to make moves? And it doesn't really matter. Like, firing a coach after they're 0-5, like, what is that really doing? You're not salvaging the season by any stretch of the imagination. But I find the Texans situation kind of similar to the Dolphins. Not that any of the head coaches or the GMs on the hot seat, like McDaniel and Greer are in Miami. Casera's not on the hot seat. D'Amico's not on the hot seat. But just like their lot in life in the 2025 NFL season, the Dolphins 0-2 entering week 3, Texans 0-2 entering week 3. And the Dolphins played a better team, Buffalo, than the Texans will be playing in Sunday, Jacksonville. But Joe Shad, who now writes for the Palm Beach Post, he had a headline today in his article, like his game recap basically, The Dolphins may have a 1-41 chance to make the NFL playoffs now that they're 0-3, but at least they showed fight at Buffalo. If I see that headline in Houston on Monday after the Texans lose to Jacksonville, should they lose to Jacksonville, I'm going to lose my mind. I will riot. That headline is the softest headline I have ever read. And I understand you're playing Buffalo. I get it. But hey, at least we showed fight. This is the NFL, man. If we see that in Houston, I am going to lose
We've seen it before.
My mind.
We've seen it before.
When?
That's in the Texans' DNA. Cal's dad, once upon a time, remember that Monday night game where I think it was like maybe 2010?
They showed fight?
Yes.
Were they good then?
It was 2010. They never made the playoffs before. But it was during that time where Kubiak kept going 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. And they took the Ravens to overtime but lost on a Matt Schaub pick six, shocking. And Bob McNair went on TV the next day and said, or maybe later in the offseason, and told everyone on TV how everyone at the owners' meeting kept patting him on the back. It's like, man, your team fights. You're really close. It's like, no.
See, I can excuse the Texans a little there because they were like an expansion team, have never done it before.
By 2010? They're eight years in.
I mean, I can excuse it a little bit more than Miami. That's my point.
Fair.
I can excuse it a little bit more than like what the Texans could potentially be looking at coming up on Monday. Like if they fall to 0-3 after back-to-back division titles whenever they were the favorite to win the AFC South and we get a headline where at least they played hard, at least they were competitive, I will lose my mind. Very, very soft headline on that one, Joe George.
It's such a loser mentality. I'm with you. I don't think we should be holding the Texans to a different standard. The Dolphins haven't made the playoffs since 2023. They're 8-9 last year. Like, I get it from their perspective, but like I don't need to be doing that, and I don't think we'll be kind to the writer who writes it either, because it's just a puff piece at that point. They're not gonna do you any favors by saying they play hard. It doesn't matter. They play hard the last 2 weeks and they lost. Like, you're 0-3, you're not gonna make the playoffs. Your season's over, essentially. So I'm with you. I hope we do not see that come Monday if the Texans lose.
Yeah. There is some news out of the Astros, by the way. They have announced – blindsided me. Isak Paredes has been reinstated off the 60-day IL. They have placed Yordan Alvarez on the 10-day IL.
He's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
Left ankle sprain, which to me does bring in the question, will Yordan Alvarez be back by the postseason? I think they were holding out hope. They're like, hey, in 3 days, his ankle is going to be way better, and we could get him back like 8, 9, 10 the days, day 8, day 9, day 10 on that 10-day IL. They decide today, nope, that's not happening. So Isak comes up. Yordan Alvarez is down. The lineup is out tonight as well. And Isak Paredes immediately in the top three spots in the order. They're going Peña, Correa, Paredes the DH, Altuve, Colbatz fifth ahead of Christian Walker, who's at first base hitting six. And then Yiner, Jesus Sanchez, Jake Myers, all for Hunter Brown. So,
I mean, look, it's not surprising. We said that at the top of the show. Like, it's... We'll wait and see for Yordan Alvarez. They said it was serious immediately. He couldn't get down the stairs, Jeremy. Like, I think expecting him to come back in the regular season seemed far fetched at the time, and now it's just, can you extend your season long enough to get his return? It feels very similar to me with Josh Hader at this point. Of just, the longer the Astros go into the playoffs, the better chance you have to have a full, you know, core group of players. But Paredes is back, and at least for today, like that's the most important thing out of this. I don't think it really, for me, changes my perspective too much on the Yordan Alvarez stuff. It's kind of, you know, business as usual at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very nitpicky, and like it really doesn't matter. And like the Astros playing with 25 players as opposed to 26 the last few games didn't matter. It's just the way that they're very hesitant to place players on the injured list is weird to me. Like, it's totally different than what I would do. Like, I would err on the side of placing them on the injured list right away. You're not creating an expectation for when the player to come back. You're not putting your manager in a tough spot. Not that Espada was really in a tough spot the last couple of days. Like, we're arguing the margins here. It's very minuscule. I get it. But it's just weird how this organization always errs on the side of, we're not placing the position player on the injured list as opposed to the other side of it. I disagree there. Didn't really matter in this case. But it does bring up the fact that, you know, Yordan ankle sprain. We'll have to continue to monitor it, of course. All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on TikTok.
Si.
Si. Yes, that is correct. Good Spanish there. I'm at Jeremy.
And I'm Mexico.
Jay Branham on TikTok. We're all on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Listening to the Texans coordinators yesterday. Yesterday was like the coordinator day in the NFL. Nick Haley was talking. Matt Burke was talking. It triggered me. I'm not going to lie. And I'll share with you why it triggered me next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. Go Cougs. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting your businesses. They have great people over there. Chris Fisher over there. Dear friend, he's an Aggie, balances it out. But great people at HR&P from the top all the way to the bottom, if there is a bottom over there. But business owners, let HR&P help you. And that's what it's all about. They can help you with HR compliance. They can help you with benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. It's small job, big job. You need a lot off your plate. You need a little bit off your plate. Doesn't matter. HR&P is going to sit down with you and completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. Nothing cookie cutter, not reading off a menu. It's going to be customized for you. They do it in a way that's unique, too. Technology meets service. They have the best technology in the game, the best in the industry. You're going to love that. You're going to trust that. But it's their service that really sets them apart. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. Always talking to someone who knows you, knows your business needs. If you love your employees, give them a little HR&P in their life. We use it here at Gow. It's fantastic. We just did the whole insurance enrollment, whatever you call that thing. It's over my head. And because it's over my head, I rely on HR&P to help me out on that. And they always do a fantastic job with that. I'm thankful we have them. So give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you and your business. 281-880-6525. Or visit them online, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
We're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It is Jeremy and Joe. It is ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Maybe Esoc is like Yordan, can come off the IL and not miss a beat. Hopefully, that'd be great. It'd be outstanding. Taylor Sheridan is a dude. Says a junkie on the text line. That's true. He's great at what he does too. A little Yellowstone. Little landman.
I do not know this man.
Yeah, yeah. Tulsa King, I hear, is good. I've not tried it. A little Sly Stallone. Have you watched that one, Joe?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen the clips. It's one of those that, like, it's like in my Facebook feed or Instagram feed where, like, the clips keep popping up. So I might watch. That might be a post-football season watch.
Huh. He did Hell or High Water. That was a great movie. He did Mayor of Kingstown. I never watched any of the prequels for Yellowstone.
They're pretty good.
Probably won't. He did Sons of Anarchy? I didn't realize that.
He's in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, he's in it?
He's in it for a while, and
he
then
did
he gets
Sicario,
killed off.
Too. Sicario's a very good movie. This guy's a genius, this Taylor Sheridan. He is to, like, drama what Larry David is to comedy. 713-780-3776. Key from L.A., the Astros need to trade Mr. Glass, a.k.a. Yordan, while he still has value in the offseason, ? See, he said that like a statement, but then he throws a question mark at the end. I'm out on that. I don't believe in trading Yordan. He's your best offensive player. I don't think that he would have premium value either because of his health. So you'd be selling him for not his full value, which I'm not a fan of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's – if you're trading Yordan Alvarez, you want, and he's under control, so you're going to want a player back that, or multiple players back that are, you know, close to Cam Smith, but because of his injury history, like, you're probably not going to want to, you know, give up a ton if you're another team because of the risk that comes with it. If you trade Yordan Alvarez, that's a rebuild. Like, that's not anything of, you know, trying to win all the time. And I know he's not out there, but it's best if he's on this roster. Even if it's limited, the Astros are better off with him here than anywhere else at this point.
Yeah. To me, it's more like has a good year next year, and then you trade him next offseason. To me, it's not this offseason coming off a game or a year where he plays 40 games or whatever it's going to be. 713-780-3776. So I was triggered listening to the Texans coordinators yesterday slash a little bit of Liam Cohen. So Nick Haley, you know, he's gonna hit the firing squad there, right? Like, they're all out, they're not happy with him, this, that. And it's a tough spot for an OC. But at the same time, hey, like, produce. Nick Haley was asked by DJ Bieniemy about, like, the motions, because the Texans are one of the bottom teams in the NFL in using motion after we thought that, hey, they're gonna use motion. Hey, this could help an offense. Here was Nick Haley describing why they haven't used motion, and hey, yeah, maybe it's coming.
Yeah, I think if you can gain an advantage, a decided advantage, I think that it's definitely something that, you know, you want to obviously incorporate, though. You know, in terms of getting out and getting set, you know, there's some games that we may use more. There's some games that we may not use as much. And I think that's week to week. And that's the honest to God truth. We've used plenty of motion back to spring and training camp, and we have the ability to do that with what we do, too.
All right, there you go. Like, whatever. Like, some guys are going to use it, some guys aren't. I don't necessarily love the answer. I feel like it was more of a – but at the same time, like, we're not going to like the answers of people, coaches, players that aren't producing. So, like, I understand that bias exists. But so, like, that answer is what that answer is. But where I really got annoyed was whenever Matt Burke was asked about, like, hey, what does Coam do with Trevor Lawrence to help Trevor Lawrence out, to help the Jacksonville Jaguars out? And listening to Matt Burke indirectly triggered me on Nick Haley.
The motions and the stuff are helping him. I think, again, just he's really good at getting the ball out quick. Like, he's not going to hold it. So I think, like, Coach Coam putting him in those spots to, like, have those quick answers and try to, like, again, keep defenses off balance. Mm.
Matthew Burke just explained to us why I am unhappy with Nick Haley.
That's interesting because you'd think, like, that there would be some trickle-down to that, right, from D'Amico, and then they would tell, you know, Nick Haley, hey, this works. I don't really understand the Nick Haley one, and to be honest with you, Jeremy, like, I don't think we see a lot of teams use motion one week and then not use it the next week. It feels like it's either something that's part of your offense or something that's not part of your offense. So I do find that answer a bit strange, honestly, of like why you just wouldn't use it all the time. And exactly what Burke points out, it makes things easier. The easy button throws that we're all talking about this week. Like, it just, all of that can come from motion. It can help with C.J. Stroud seeing if it's a zone or a man coverage. Even the basics of the defense you're facing, that's what you need. And they're not using it. And I don't also, I wish there was a follow-up to Nick Haley of just, like, why, like why would you use it some weeks and not the other weeks? Like what is the benefit of that?
Well, he would tell you that it's matchup dependent.
But on what? Like, I guess a team that, like, only run zone or man at that point, like, they don't run a lot of mix and match, they primarily stay in zone, so it's a waste of time. But even then, it just seems strange to not want to use it. So yeah, I think you're rightfully annoyed, and especially when you add it in with the Burke, and he really lays out for why Nick Haley's factually wrong.
Yeah,
honestly,
Haley,
in what he's saying.
Haley's like dismissing the whole motion idea. Stroud dismissed it the other day when he talked to the media too, and then Burke's like, yeah, he's the reason that Cohen helped Trevor Lawrence so much is because of the zone. Now here's Liam Cohen. Like, I wasn't going to even include Liam Cohen to this, and then I listened to Liam Cohen today, and I was like, okay, well, this is an offensive mind. This is an offensive genius. He's been hired by Kentucky. He's been hired by McVay. He was hired in Tampa to call plays for their offense last year. He's hired by this little wunderkin Jacksonville Jaguar GM who's like 28 years old. Here was Liam Cohen, like, the whole offensive mindset.
The way that he can show that he's, you know, continuing to respond is in his preparation, in the way that he's surgical.
Talk about Lawrence.
With his footwork, with his reads, like, playing the position at a high level and continuing to get better week in and week out, mastering their defensive scheme, knowing what's going to happen, you know, using the formations and motions to build a undress the defense, like being and playing the quarterback position at a high level.
Using the formations and the motions to undress the defense. Meanwhile, your offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans and your quarterback of the Houston Texans, we don't need that. We don't need motion. We're fine. We're okay.
They're fine.
I feel like they're in over their head. I am so disappointed with this. I feel like they're incompetent, in over their head, and I'm terrified what the rest of the season looks like.
This feels like it could get really bad, guys. Yes. And I'm trying not to red flag in week three and overreact. But if the offensive coordinator is telling you that motion is matchup dependent, it makes me question if he knows ball.
Yeah.
And that's a bold statement coming from someone like me to someone like him who worked under Sean McVay. But if you think, we don't need to use motion all the time, well, look at the best offense in the league. They use motion a lot because, as Liam Cohen says in that clip, it helps you address the defense. Like, a guy followed, it's a man. A guy didn't follow, it's zone. Like, it gives you the answers so the quarterback knows where to go the ball post-snap quicker.
Yeah, it's I'm worried, guys. I am worried.
I think it's valid to be worried. I think the responses that were I looked at your responses to your tweet about Mike McDaniel being the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. I think the people who are, I love DJ, but DJ Bieniemy responding with an LOL. I'm like, well, I mean, you sure that's the stance like you want to put out there? Because the way this feels like it's heading, it feels like it's going to be worse than last year. It's two games, and maybe it's an overreaction, but it feels like the offense is going to be worse this season. They have the lowest amount of points in the NFL.
Yeah.
You could have hired someone with play-calling experience. You chose not to. You didn't really interview anyone with play-calling experience. I mean, I didn't love the idea of hiring a college coach, the guy they interviewed at Syracuse, but I just feel like there was other options they could have looked into, and this is the problem with hiring a first-year OC coming off a year in which your offensive coordinator, your offense struggled.
It's a gamble.
Is you're not given the benefit of the doubt. You don't deserve it. Like, they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
And you don't know what you're going to get. Like, if you're the head coach with D'Amico, you don't know for sure what you're going to get. Like, you're making your best guess, but you have zero history of what that's going to look like. So it's more of a gamble, more of a risk for sure.
And you know what's frustrating about that gamble? Is they're gambling during the best advantage you can have in sports, a QB on a rookie contract.
Yep.
It feels like you're wasting the biggest advantage you're going to have for the next decade when C.J. Stroud is making pennies compared to what he'll make in the future when he's making probably $55 to $60 million per year. You hired year one, a guy who's never called plays before, worked well in year one, obviously fell apart in year two. You see that happen, and your answer to it is, let's promote from within from this bad offensive line and hire another guy who has no experience. You saw it fail right in front of your eyes the year before, and they basically signed up to do the same thing again.
It's what's the definition of insanity?
That. Yeah.
I agree, motion, one of the junkies on the text line. I agree motion is part of your offense, and it should be used weekly. Do you think Joe Brady's only going to use motion every other week? This is ridiculous. It's a great point. Do you think McVay's only going to do it every other week? Do you think Shanahan's matchup dependent? People might not like Mike McDaniel because the Dolphins aren't good right now. Is he going to stop using motion because they play team XYZ in week four? No, like, it's their offense. They're good at what they do, and they'll have adjustments and they'll have counter punches to what the defense is going to do. But that's a foundational piece of some of the best offenses in the entire NFL. Israel says CJ owns the AFC South. Trevor's a loser. Make the playoffs. He said Trevor, aka Flop. He can't compare to CJ. Laugh emoji.
Stroud.
This isn't a Stroud Trevor Lawrence debate, because I would agree with you, Israel. Like, I'd rather have Stroud than Trevor Lawrence. This is an offensive scheme versus offensive scheme conversation. This is a Texans offense just might be incredibly incompetent conversation. This is not a knockdown CJ Stroud. We like CJ Stroud around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is one of those where, like, I know I'm new to the show, but, like, Israel, you got to take the potatoes out of yours, man. Like, we're talking about the offense. We're talking about the issues that are surrounding the offense. And it's not a CJ Stroud. We're talking about how it's hurting CJ Stroud, how we want the best for CJ Stroud. And the Texans and the decision-making process they went through this offseason does not look like it's in the best interest of CJ Stroud. The Jaguars, the Bears, these teams, like, they did what they think is best for their quarterbacks. Does it mean it's going to work? No. Is it going to fix all the Trevor Lawrence problems? No. That's why he's, throwing his hand up at his coach on the sideline already this offseason. But, like, this is where, if the offense doesn't improve quickly, there's going to be more questions about this organization. It starts at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Texter, or junkie rather, my 9-year-old even uses motions in Madden. Your 9-year-old knows ball. Another junkie, that's what they get for constantly clowning on Bobby Slowick. Another texter says they should have just kept Bobby Slowick. I don't know if keeping him was the answer, but, like I said yesterday, I think Slowick is a better OC currently than Nick Haley. Maybe DJ LOL because he doesn't think McDaniel will be an OC next year. Maybe he thinks he'll get another head coaching position. I don't think that DJ believes that. And look, I don't know what DJ was thinking. I don't think that Mike McDaniel will be a head coach next year. My thought was, because I know that DJ is not a Nick Haley guy. Like, he's talked very honestly about this offense in a not so positive light. I think he's just anti Mike McDaniel is kind of my takeaway of that. But
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it. It's the same offense you were running. Like, I think it is.
But I think McDaniel's far more creative, and that offense was very clearly through just two games of Kaylee more beneficial for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, and that's where – and because I think the issue with Bobby was really just it wasn't his offense, and you saw the lack of experience when people adjusted. If he could adjust, he could still be, I think, the Texans' offensive coordinator right now. But it was just when at halftime, it just would get worse. And I think it showed it was he was running someone else's offense that I don't think he has a full grasp on at this point and how to adjust when the defense adjusts to you. So that to me is why Bobby's not the OC and why I don't think Bobby should have been the offensive coordinator this year. I think it was the right decision to move on, even though it's been bad for two games, because that skill didn't seem like it was going to get better for him. I think that right now the Texans just made the wrong hire.
Yeah, I would agree. The definition of insanity is Texans fans. This organization has been inept since inception. There you go. The Houston Texans.
Never quit.
Inept since inception. 713-780-3776. At least
sounds
Slowick
like a bad
good.
Yearly slogan. You know, built for this. Inept since inception.
Inept since inception. I kind of like it.
It's got a nice ring to it. I don't think they'll use it, though.
The alliteration's very good. All right, 713-780-3776. Two favorites and a dog. Where are we making you money this week? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy, Joe, ESPN 97.5. Junkie on the text line. JB and JG into place to be. Dropping bars on the text line. I don't know if that's good or not. I'm not cool enough to know if that's good or not. 713-780-3776. If you want to tell us how big of idiots we are with these bets. Mean text coming up later. The return of mean text coming up a little bit later. But two favorites and a dog. You can't see me biting my tongue right now. Last week I went 3-0. Brian and Joe went 1-2. This is also going to be a draft element. We don't know each other's bets. So as soon as somebody takes a game, it takes it off the board completely. So we're going to go reverse order of standings. Brian won the coin flip. Sorry, Joe. So Brian will be going first. Now, the question that I have, because we've not ironed out the details of this, y'all just put things in place without even chatting with me. Are we going like 1 through 3 first round, 1 through 3 second round, 1 through 3 third round? Or are we doing it like a snake draft?
Doesn't matter to me.
Joe, you call it. I don't care either.
Let's snake it.
Okay, we'll snake it. So Brian's on the board with the first pick. Brian, what's your first play of the week?
My first play of the week is the Chargers at home, a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos are necessarily a bad team. I know they're kind of in the conversation of overrated coming into the season, but I think the Chargers have put themselves in the conversation of maybe top five team in football, and I will take them at home to cover the 2.5.
All right, so you're on the Chargers 2.5 over Denver. Chargers playing that game at home. That one is off the board, Joe. You're on the clock.
All right, I will take Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts -4.5 on the road against the Tennessee Titans.
That one was on my board. I had that one on my draft board, so excellent pick. So you have the Colts starting 3-0 if you're taking them to cover 4.5.
I do, yes.
Interesting what that means for the Houston Texans. So Joe's on the Colts side of that. None of y'all have played an underdog yet, huh?
Nope.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I guess I have back-to-back pictures, so it doesn't matter which one I go with. But I'll just take the underdog right off the board, get it out of the way, wash my hands of it. Can I take two underdogs?
I mean, it's two favorites and a dog.
The stupidity of the name is play again here.
No, it's pretty clear.
So you can't take more than one dog.
No, it's right in the title of the name.
This is the stupidest betting game ever. Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. Wait, time out. I would be fine if you went two dogs and a favorite.
Okay. Why?
So can we just pick games against the spread and just
change the name?
Okay, no. All right, no. You know what? No, Brian's right. Two favorites and a dog.
Like, if we want to change the name, cool. But, no. I mean, it clearly says two favorites.
Can we just change the name? Change the name.
All right, fine.
Let's change
What's the name now?
I don't know. We'll workshop that in post-production. But we're changing the whole concept of two favorites and a dog. Because it's a coin flip either side. It confuses
me. I like that
we're
changing it in the middle of the picks, but okay.
Yep.
Well, we can follow those rules today.
All right.
Well, if we can follow those rules today, and then we'll flip it next week, I guess. I'll just
take
the Bears.
Super well organized.
I'll take the Bears plus 1.5.
All right.
Give me the hometown Bears. Give me the Chicago. Their losses have been, you know, they've been way too concerning. They've been overrated, those losses. The Cowboys couldn't defend water if they fell out of a boat. I really don't know what that means.
A road favorite.
Yeah, Chicago's going to win this game. Now, it's going to be a high-scoring game, all of those things. Chicago's going to win their first game under Ben Johnson, going to beat the Cowboys. Give me the Bears as my underdog. And then I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. It's not Carson Lutz. It's Carson Wentz. He's going to win this game for the Vikings. Skull, skull, skull. They're playing Browning. He stinks. Minnesota's got a great home field advantage. The number at 2.5, too small. Skull. Vikings cover the number. Back to you, Joe.
Oh, that means I'm on the clock. Okay, I couldn't remember. I honestly forgot the order there for a second. I'm going to go You took one of my games here, so I got to pivot here.
Bears,
you know what? I'm
going to draft.
I know. It's throwing me off here a little bit. I'll take my underdog here then. I will take the Fighting Illini, Illinois, plus 6.5 against the University of Indiana in that one.
Where's
Fighting Brett
Bielema's.
It is in Bloomington.
They're saying that Mendoza kid could be the number one pick in the draft.
I've seen that, yes.
Seems wild to me.
Well, there's a lot of kids I've said that about. In September.
I know.
Arch.
Hello, Spencer Rattler. Hello, Arch.
Way back in the day. All right, Brian, last two.
All right, so I'll go ahead and I'm gonna run it back. Oregon screwed me last week. They're up 34-0 on Northwestern and gave up a couple garbage time touchdowns to cost themselves the cover. Right this week, though, the last rivalry game for Oregon State, at least for a year. They might run that. Apparently, they might sign that rivalry back in 2027. But the last Civil War against Oregon State, who's garbage, they're 0-3. They've looked completely uncompetitive. Give me Oregon minus 34.5 in the last rivalry game. It's a huge number. Part of me is just stubbornly picking Oregon because they screwed me last week, and I want to run it back. But that is a high number. And also, Oregon State is trash, let's be
honest.
They
are trash.
So, one pick left here. I'm going to go back to the NFL. Tampa Bay at home.
Oh, that was my next pick.
Minus 6.5. Good. I feel better about it now because you were 3-0. Tampa Bay minus 6.5 at home against Tyrod Taylor and the Jets. I think that's a comfortable cover for the Buccaneers.
There you go. I agree.
Wait, time out. You picked three favorites.
I did, but we're changing the game, right?
Sure.
No, we're not.
That's fine. I don't care.
No!
I hate the whole concept of two favorites and a dog.
I thought we completely threw the format out.
That's fine. Let's do that.
All right.
Betting against the spread is a coin flip. There is no reason to have two favorites and a dog. It is so dumb. All right, last pick, Joe.
Honestly, I was just trying to enforce the rules there because that was my last pick.
What rules? We threw
them
all away.
I was just trying to fight with that.
This is like Fight Club. The only rule is
anarchy.
There are no rules.
The anarchy segment.
All right. Well, let's go to the. We're going to stick in the state of Indiana then. So I've got Illinois winning, and I'm going to take the Irish to pummel the Purdue Boilermakers. Give me Notre Dame minus 25.5.
Drew Brees ain't walking through that door. All right. Last pick for me. Give me Atlanta on the road. At Carolina, the Panthers, I think, are terrible. The Cardinals let them in that game last week. They had no business being in that game. I think the Panthers are one of the worst three teams in the NFL. I think the Falcons are actually pretty good. That defense is looking good. Their pressure is getting to the quarterback. Good luck, Bryce Young. And that offense has a bunch of pieces. I think the Falcons roll on the road at Carolina, and they cover the 5.5. So those are our bets. We'll workshop a name. Or if you have a name, Junkies, you're usually more creative than
me. Did anyone write that down, by the way?
No, you're going to
I'm writing it down.
You wrote it down? Good.
Okay, good.
I was just hoping we could add to the anarchy by not remembering our picks.
Well, I mean, there's tape that exists.
That's a lot of work.
You could go back and listen.
Says you.
It's a fact.
We know you're not doing that work.
I would not. No, I'd push Brian to do it. Brian, go do it. We got an intern here today, don't we? Where's your panic meter at on these NFL teams? Brian's going to hit us with some of these teams, and we'll tell you where our panic meter is at for them. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The Walmart you thought you knew is brand new. Who knew? Walmart right now, look, we're using it. We're getting ready for this big move to a new house. We're using it to get all of our stuff. You can use it online. You can find things that you're not going to find in the store. We're going to use it mostly for this trip because, well, we're going to throw out everything in our refrigerator. We're going to make it nice and easy, get to a new house, get the delivery, have it right to the, you know, go there, pick it up, or have it come right to the door. We're going to use Walmart to get all of that done. Right now, you can go on there, and or as did you know, Walmart can deliver in fast as an hour. Fees and terms do apply. You can use express delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions. It is subject to availability, and you can learn more at walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jeremy and Joe, the ESPN 97.5. Brian hangs out with us too. He's going to give us teams just in the NFL. We're going to give you our panic meter on these teams. Panic meter, where are they at on that needle? Joe, you can go first. Age before beauty. Brian, hit us with the first team.
Since we're going with Joe first, let's hit him with his favorite team, Chicago Bears. New head coach, new offensive system. Caleb Williams still sucks. What's the panic meter in Chicago, Joe?
It's about a 7, I think is a fair way to put it. It's not Caleb. Caleb's been fine. Go watch the tape. Jeremy picking the Bears when they're missing 3 starters this weekend on defense is yikes. All right, good luck. Right. To be honest,
corners. What was my record, Joe?
3-0.
What was your record?
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because that means the Bears are probably going to win.
You're not answering the question.
1-2.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
But yeah, I'd say it's like a 7 right now.
Okay. I mean, I guess what's the panic? Like, are we talking like miss the playoffs here?
I think the panic is that you're facing Matt Eberflus this weekend, and the defense just gave up 52 points to the Detroit Lions, and it looks so much worse. And that, while Caleb has looked better, it hasn't taken the leap that you thought it was. You got 3 new offensive linemen. Caleb Williams is still getting pressured like crazy. DeAndre Swift is awful. So I think there's panic in the fact that the roster is locked in for the next year and a half.
Okay.
At this point, you can't really get out of a lot of these guys.
I'm going to go.
Wouldn't the panic be like they don't show improvement?
See, I think they're going to be fine ultimately. Like, I believe in Ben Johnson. I agree a little bit with Joe that Caleb Williams has been, I mean, he's had flashes. Like, first half of the week 1 game against Minnesota, I thought he looked really good. Second half, I thought he looked really bad. Last week, that game got so out of hand so quickly, like, I almost throw it out in terms of an assessment on Caleb Williams. But I think that they're slowly going to figure it out. I like their pieces. I think they have been banged up, so, like, I think it is going to influence their record. But in terms of, like, their long term, I'm still pretty good with them, so I'm, like, at a 3 with the Bears.
The problem is that Ryan Poles got a 4-year contract extension before the start of the season. And if this roster's not good, he's tied to this team. That's the problem.
You don't think that they could just buy him out? Like, it's not cap-related or anything. Do they have the money to throw around?
They do not have the money to throw around.
Okay, so not like, they're not Cal where they'll just, you know, flex their money and, like, you know, get things that they want or get rid of.
No, they don't.
It's always fun to win.
They don't have they don't have money. Like, they bought their team for like probably $50,000, honestly.
And aren't they also financing a new stadium right now?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. But like, they don't come from money. This is their money. This is the McCaskey money, is the Bears. They don't have other businesses.
Okay.
So.
All right. Next team, Brian.
The Commanders, obviously, a lot was expected of them in the preseason. Now, got embarrassed by Green Bay. Now, Jaden Daniels is out. How many games? Is it time for a little bit of concern that the Commanders could fall short of their preseason expectations?
I probably haven't, like, a 3, because I think people are going to be, you know, will be very patient with them. And because of the Daniels injury, I don't think people are too concerned. And I think most fans know to expect a sophomore slump at this point from quarterbacks. So I think it's like a 3. I think it's pretty low.
Is that a thing now? Sophomore slumps? Was CJ Stroud the maverick of that?
No.
It was at least a terminology before then.
I guess. I didn't know that.
I mean,
quarterbacks,
it's more of a baseball.
Like, hadn't heard of a sophomore slump before last year.
No, I've heard the term, but I've never.
Well,
But I wouldn't associate it with football. I wouldn't associate it with quarterback play. Yes, I've heard the term sophomore slump in sports. I would never before CJ Stroud attribute it to a quarterback.
Well, like Baker, I think, is one that what you would point to. You know, having a pretty good year his rookie year, and then the second year struggling. Well, Trevor Lawrence, didn't he make the playoffs his rookie year? Was that his rookie year when they beat the Chargers?
Mac Jones definitely
had
a sophomore.
No, it wasn't his rookie year. His rookie year was Urban Meyer. They did not make the playoffs.
Mac Jones had a good rookie season, made the playoffs, made the Pro Bowl, and did the gritty. And then was and it was terrible his second year. Like, lost his job. Terrible.
To Bailey Zappi.
Oh, gosh. Shout out Houston Christian, which isn't even – or shout out Houston Baptist at the time. Now it's Houston Christian. But he went somewhere else. Did he go to Western Kentucky, Bailey Zappi?
That sounds right. It was. I think. I thought it was a MAC school. I'm not exactly sure which one.
I think either the head coach or the OC went to Western Kentucky and he followed him. Are they the Hilltoppers, Western Kentucky?
Yes.
I think that's where he went. Washington, I'm not going to one on Washington. I think they're going to be fine. I think they can win Mariota. And I don't think that the Daniels thing is long term. I still think the Commanders easily get to 10 wins. Who do they have again?
Raiders at home.
Yes, I do. I think they beat the Raiders at home. Branham Lytics has the Raiders losing by one. So I have Mariota and the Commanders winning that game by 1 point. But while the quarterback is out, that's all you care about is winning the game, finding out a way. So I still think they're a playoff team. I'm not worried about the Commanders a bit. They're at a one for me. Next!
All right, the probably the most surprising 0-2 team in the league has to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they have played the Chargers and the Eagles, so you could certainly say, well, they played two of the better teams in the NFL, but losing to them maybe means the Chiefs aren't one of the better teams in the NFL, at least at that top elite level tier. Any, what's the panic level with the Chiefs?
Man, I want to go like a 6, I think. I mean, the offense hasn't looked any better. Rice is suspended for 4 more games. Xavier Worthy, I don't think he's back yet this weekend. The offense just hasn't really improved at all. And where the way the Chargers are playing, I think you'd be a little concerned. And I think they kind of view their team like we view the Astros, as the expectations to win the division, and that's where the panic thus lies. So I'll go 6.
I'm going to go at a 5 for Kansas City. I'm not so much worried about them, like the team, like their success and like playing good football. Rashee Rice is coming back. Xavier Worthy might play this week. Like, they're going to add pieces. It's more the division. Like, the division's pretty salty. Like, the Chargers just might flat out be better than Kansas City. And they won the game that they played on a neutral field in week one. Denver's much improved. The Raiders are better than they were last season. So the division is tough. Kansas City playing a first-place schedule. I'm more concerned about what Kansas City has on the slate than I am, like, their personnel, their roster, that sort of thing. So give me a 5 for Kansas City.
All right, one quarterback taken ahead of C.J. Stroud. Of course, that was Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah.
Looked really good in the second half of last season. Things were looking up, but that trend has reversed, and the Panthers have looked pretty awful with an 0-2 start so far. What's the panic for Carolina?
8. I think it's high. I think it's very, 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 very high.
Yeah. I give him a 10. Bryce Young looks awful. He looks terrible. Oh, he had good numbers last week. That's because Arizona fell asleep in that game, and they allowed Bryce Young and the Panthers to get back into a game that should have been put to bed early. I'm really worried about Bryce Young. I think this is Bryce Young's last year as a starter. Maybe they give Kanellis another quarterback. I don't know. I don't like that team at all. I think Hunter Renfro's catching 2 touchdown passes for them.
Yep.
Hunter Renfro is catching 2 touchdown passes for them. I don't like that football team at all. I'm at a 10.
The 10. You want to do one more?
For Carolina. Yeah, sure. Why not? It's a Friday.
I believe you picked this team to win, Jeremy, but the Vikings, obviously, outside of one quarter against the Bears, J.J. McCarthy has not looked good, and now he's hurt, and they're having to play Carson Wentz. Obviously, that division's really damn good with the Packers, the Lions, and the Bears are obviously more talented than the record shows. What is the panic for Minnesota?
I think I'm just going to go right down the middle here. I think it's a 5, because there's some faith in Kevin O'Connell that he can figure it out with any quarterback. So the panic that's there, it's what you've seen from J.J. McCarthy. But because it's still only his second start and he's hurt, I think you got to give him a little bit of grace here as well. So I'll call right down the middle for them.
I'm going like at a 3. I think Kevin O'Connell is going to make Carson Wentz look okay. Like, I think he's going to make Carson Wentz look like a suitable NFL quarterback. Going into last year, is there any reason to believe that Sam Darnold is greater than Carson Wentz? No. I think that he's actually going to find a way to make Carson Wentz look productive again. Not like MVP Philly that year, just like a solid NFL quarterback. Their defense is still very good. They still have Justin Jefferson. They're getting Jordan Addison back after this week. I still have the Vikings making the playoffs. What did I say, 2 or 3? I'm going to give
you
them
said
a 3.
You said,
yeah.
You said
3 for the Vikings. I'm not really that worried about it. Now, if they lose this week to the Bengals against Jake Browning, we'll have this conversation again. We'll revisit. But if they go 2-1, Wentz looks okay. Addison's coming back. Like, I think they're all right. 713-780-3776 Have you seen the plan to fix college football? I like it. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975, ESPN 925. Y'all looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, the midweek, whatever? The hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, or whatever is causing you stress? Well, I have the best idea for you. You already know what it is. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. 20% off right now through October, by the way. From the open green spaces to the beautiful wildlife, to the beautiful, majestic trees, and also some of the best fishing in Texas. Two Creeks kind of border their property there. They have the catch-and-release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kids. You can't beat it. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too. Escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Don't blow all your PTO time traveling. Get on up there and enjoy some rest and relaxation. Hike on their 92 acres of property. Do a little bit of kayaking. Play some pickleball. Hang out by the pool with a drink. They have glamping. They have cabins. They have the treehouse. Pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. I'm always telling you how they love to take care of their customers. You know what's going on this week? How about a little bit of Frozen Friday coming up tonight? They have an Astros watch party tonight. Well, I'm going next week. Okay. Next Thursday. Thirsty Thursday. Who doesn't love a little Thirsty Thursday? And who wouldn't love a Thirsty Thursday at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston? Frozen Friday next Friday. Fajitas and Ritas contest. That sounds like it's for me. On Saturday, they have so many things. A little live music from Kenny Cooper. They have Kids Craft. They have bingo. And college football at Swampers as well. So you can watch your football out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You can watch your Astros out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. 20% off right now through October, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.